The word bondservant is a word which I, for a long time, just assumed I knew what it meant, and I didn't have a clue. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1, when Robert read this last week, it kind of stuck with me, and I thought, do I really even know what that even means? And he says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. Titus 1:1, Paul, a bondservant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ. James 1:1, that's not what that says. James 1:1 does not say Paul, a bondservant of God and Jesus Christ. James 1:1 says James, a bondservant of God and Lord Jesus Christ. That was a copy and paste error, and you can take note of that. Jude 1, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Bond servant, sometimes used as bond slave, and it's multiple times in Scripture. What does that mean? What does that mean? A bondage slave? That doesn't have a very good come to mind appearance of the word, does it? It doesn't ring something that's going to make you happy. I mean, slavery was abolished. We don't have that anymore. I'm no man's man. I belong to nobody. I'm free. I can do what I want to do. I don't answer to anybody. And that's the attitude we have to a lot of things. And when we hear bond servant, bond slave, you know, well, that just means he serves God. True. But it has a much deeper meaning to it. It has a deeper connection to it than just one who serves God. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Is for a long time I just thought, you know, hey, that means that, you know, Paul and Peter and James, gee, they're just saying we serve God. That's what we do. And I got to really thinking about it this past week, and past Sunday, and I thought, what does that bondservant really mean? What is that? Where did that come from? Who is a bondservant? What makes a bondservant a bondservant? And why is it a bondservant, not a regular servant or a regular slave instead of a... Well, what is the difference? Is there a difference? Or is this all just some other guy's interpretation of the same word? Well, if we'll look back to history in Deuteronomy chapter 15, beginning in verse 12, he says, if your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the seventh year you will let him go free from you. And when you send him away free from you, you shall not let him go away empty-handed. You shall supply him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, from your winepress. From what the Lord your God has blessed you with, you shall give him. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore I command you this thing today. And if it happens that he says to you, I will not go away from you because he loves you and your house, since he prospers with you, then you shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear to the door, and he shall be your servant forever. Also to your female servant you shall do likewise, and it shall not seem hard to you when you send him away free from you. For he has been worth a double hired servant in serving you 6 years. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all that you do. So he says, you have this slave, and at the end of 6 years, after serving you 6 years, let him go. Let him go free. And don't just let him go to go fend for yourself. You give him a little bit to help him start out. Sometimes these servants would come because I couldn't find another job. I can't find anything else to do, and they would fall more under the status of a butler, so to speak, or of a maid, than really a slave or a servant. But there were times also when a man would owe, let's say I was deeply indebted to Joe over here, a debt of $10,000. But I don't want to go really work for the man that I owe $10,000 to. But I'll go enslave myself and I'll sell myself for $10,000 to Bob and just take that $10,000 and give it to Joe. And so I'm done with Joe. I was tired of dealing with Joe and now I'm done with him. But I owe myself 6 years to Bob. And then there were some times where you refused to pay, you refused any way to pay. And Joe would say, well, he owes me $10,000 and I'm going to go get him. And he would have to be indentured into his slavery for amount of time to pay off the debt. But let's say he was a slave, and at the end of that 6 years, he says, you know what, I got it pretty good here. I've got it good. I don't want to leave. That's what he says. He says, I've been a slave to you for 6 years, and I don't want to leave. He says, take a little shortened piece of rebar and sharpen it on the end. Take that awl and take his ear and put it against the doorpost and punch a hole in it. Now, I'm a slave, and I'm thinking, well, I got a chance to get out of here. I got a chance not only to get out of here, but I'm going to have a start. He's going to give me a little bit of his flock. He's going to give me a little grain. He's going to give me a little wine. I'm going to have a way to go about my business. Well, I'm going to turn that down. But then I think over here that I've got to have my ear jabbed. Man, well, am I sure that I really want to stay? I don't know if I want to go through that pain. Why would they stay? Why would you choose to stay and serve the man you've been serving for the last 6 years? You got an opportunity to go free. Why would you choose to stay and stay with him forever? Why? Well, perhaps it was the fact that you got married while you were in slavery. In Exodus 21, he talks about the command of a slave. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in with his wife, he shall go out with his wife. But if he comes in by himself and he marries and has children when it is his time to go, he shall go out by himself and everything else will stay behind. But if a man came in and got married and had, you know, hey, I don't want to leave all them behind. Even though I'm in slavery, I don't want to leave my family. I don't want to go away from them. I want to keep them with me. I want to stay with them. Well, that could be a possibility. But it could be the fact that those slaves were treated the way that God wanted them to be treated. In Exodus 21, verse 4 and 5, he says, if you strike him and he loses an eye, you should set him free. If he loses a tooth, you should let him free. If he loses an ear, you should let him free. He's your property, but you don't forget he's a child of God. And yes, you could whip him, and yes, you could correct wrongdoing, but you have to keep yourself under control. That the purpose of whipping them is not to resolve your anger, but to correct. God gives a direction to the masters, to those who have slaves under him. They have rules and restrictions too, and the slaves have rules and restrictions related toward their masters. And perhaps that slave said, you know, I've got it good. I've got food here. I've got shelter. The master treats me well. I, in return, serve my master well. And we serve God together. He might say, I'm happy here and I will serve him forever. Because he is a good master. And he would take that awl and pierce his ear. And a lot of people think that's where the gold earrings originated from, is that would be something that would be done after the ear was pierced, is the earring would be placed in the ear with perhaps the family crest, the master's name, a number. So think about that the next time you put that gold earring in your ear and you think, man, is that marking me to somebody else? Is that marking me to something? But being a bond slave is a good thing. The mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus, and she said, you know, I want my children to serve at your right and your left hand. I want them to be right beside you, Jesus. Give my sons your right and left hand. And Jesus said, called them to Himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. We talked about a little on Wednesday night, momentarily, about diakonos and how it is the Greek word for deacon, for minister, for one who serves, is a servant. Well, here in this passage, that's the word that is used at the end of verse 26 when he says servant. The Greek word is diakonos. He is a servant. But doulos is that bond slave, that bond servant, literally translated as a slave. And that is the word used in 27. It says, let him be your slave. If you desire to be first, let him be your slave. We often think about serving and serving others, and we're thinking about diakonos. The difference between diakonos and doulos is important for us understanding. Doulos stresses exclusively the Christian subjection to God, and diakonos is concerned with His service for the church. So when we say we are a servant, when we say we are a deacon, when we say we are ministers, we are talking about our relationship with one another. I come to serve you, I come to help you, I help out each other, and you help me, and we're all getting along. But doulos is a slave in our relationship to God, where we are giving up all of our rights and only serving Him. We've given up everything else and elected, chosen, as that slave who had the opportunity to be set free. We said, no, we want to serve you. We want to serve you and only you. There's no other option. That is our choice, and we will serve you to be your doulos, to be your bond slave, your bond servant, a slave to God. Luke chapter 17, verse 7, he says, and which of you having a servant plowing or tending his sheep will say to him, when he is coming from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did the things which were commanded to him? I think not. So likewise, when you have done all those things which you were commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done what is our duty to do. He says, your job is to be a slave to God and do His will and to do what He has commanded you to do. He says, do your job with the attitude of we are unprofitable servants doing only our job, doing only our duty. We're just doing what we're called to do. However, there are a lot of times people that go around saying, I serve God, I do this, I lead singing, I worship, I pray, I lead a class, I teach this, I teach that. Look at what I did for the poor. I went to the widow's house, I checked on some orphans, I went to the nursing home. Look what I did. And it's good that you're serving, and it's good that you're doing what you should do, but we're to do it with the right hand not knowing what the left hand is doing. And when we humble ourselves to the point of being a slave to serving God and doing what He wants us to do, and then we go around telling everybody about it, it's kind of like bragging about your humility, isn't it? It's kind of like saying, look at how humble I am, everybody. Well, that's not the connection of humility. To lower ourselves and to put ourselves in the point of a slave in subjection to God and giving our lives forever to being His slave and serving Him. It wasn't really left open to being an option of being a slave in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the cross. Christ lowered himself. He was even with God. He was of the same stature as God. He lowered himself and became as a man. And not only did he come to earth as a man, but he lowered himself to being a bondservant. We read a while ago in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, he said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. That was his purpose, is to serve others. He took the form of a bondservant and humbled himself to the point of death. Think about this. He is a slave. He lowered himself to the service of God. He was just like in the old law. He said, I will serve you as my master forever, and I will do your will, and you will have with me as you please for me to do, I will do. And he took that all the way to the point where his master said, you shall die. And you shall die not because of your wrongdoing, not because you didn't obey me, but you're going to die because everyone else didn't obey me. And he said, not my will, but thine. I am your slave. I have lowered myself, and I will serve you. Have we lowered ourselves as Christ and said, I will serve you forever? Just like that bond servant. Like a bond slave. Like all these men. Becoming a bond servant to God. Becoming a slave to God. Becoming that slave forever. We talk about what we do for others as a servant. But what do we talk about that we do as a slave for God? And I ask you, are you a servant? No, really, like the diakonos, the deacon, the minister, one who serves each other. That's what I'm talking about now. Are you a servant? No, think about it now. Am I, myself, a servant? When was the last time you served the person on your right? When was the last time you served the person on your left? When was the last time you served the person in front of you? When was the last time you served the person behind you? And if you can't answer like that, then are you really being a servant? Haley, a lot of times, she'll say, you just leave this, you leave that on the counter all the time. I say, well, when's the last time I did it? Well, nah, I can't remember right now. Well, if you can't think of it like that, evidently it's not often enough for me to take notice of it and call it a habit. So think about it. When was the last time you remember serving the person on your right, left, front, and behind you? I fall short on that often. A lot of times I like to throw myself and some of the things I do as serving you. When did I really serve you specifically? I mean, did I take time and serve you as an individual and do something for you? Or did I just say, well, I did something for everybody and that ought to be good enough? But the individual impact that Jesus took with each of His disciples washing their feet. I've seen some of your feet. They're nasty. Some of y'all ought to rethink sandals. But to say, you know, I cleansed all of you from sin. That's what God, Jesus could say. He said, well, I'm going to die for all of you. That would be serving them. But He took time with each individual and washed each one's feet. But what about the bond servant side of it? The bond slave. Are you a bond slave? Have you given up all of your rights and said, I will be a servant to God? I will be a slave to God forever. I had an opportunity to do something else, to go on with my life, but no, I'm going to give all that up and just be God's. Because that's what you do when you take the form of that bondservant. No, you don't get a gold earring. You have a golden crown waiting on you. No, there's not a price to pay. You have been bought and paid for. Your debt is clear. All He asks is for you to serve Him as that bond slave. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. John 15, verse 12. The attitude of serving should be with an attitude of love. And we talked about that just for a few moments in class this morning. Of the elders and their job is one that is done willingly. With care and love for the flock. And it, without love it becomes a tireless, endless, no joy chore. I do this because I have to do this. There's no option. I'm getting beat over the head with it. And Jesus says, love each other. To love each other as I have loved you. We need to focus on that love. Because when you love someone, when you care about that person, you're going to call. You're going to know if they need something. You're going to know where you can fill in, what you can help them with, because you love them and you know them. When we love each other, it's easier to serve each other because we know where the shortfall is on each other. Because we've grown together and we know how to serve each other. We know how to help each other. And if you got out of this lesson this morning that this is all about you being a servant to each other, then I'm happy for you. I'm glad you got that out of it. But the serving of each other brings not only an impact on the one being served and the one serving, but it brings pleasure to God. Because He says, these children of mine are getting it. Because we're slaves to Him. We are to be His bond slaves and serve God. So I guess you think now is the time of the challenge of the question that I'm going to ask you to be a servant today and to serve God. Well, yeah. Now, yada, 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 let's get all this over with. We're going to go out, shake hands, bye, see you, go eat. Skip forward to now, you're going to go eat because everybody's hungry. Why don't you take the ones you eat with? and do something of service to them. Just the ones you eat with, just the ones that gather at your table today, do something for them to serve them. That's your challenge. And then Monday, however many people you ate with to today, add one more person to that on Monday as your goal of number of people to serve. Then on Tuesday, add one more to that. And before you realize it, you've now formed the habit and the mindset of being a servant the way that God wants you to be. That's what we should do. To grow every day, to make a habit of serving God. Perhaps this morning you're here, and you're here as a free man. And you are as free as you think you could ever be. But you are being held back by the bondage and the slavery to sin. And you can have the freedom of being a slave to God. And I think a lot of times we get, well, what? How are we leaving slavery of one thing and calling slavery to another being free? Think about your situation as a sinner. Serving Satan requires you to constantly cover your tracks. You're going, well, I don't want so-and-so to find out about I did that. I don't want them to know I went there. I wish so-and-so didn't know I went to that. I'm glad they don't know I said this. Oh, I hope, what did they hear me do? Where did they see me at? What was I doing going down the road? You see how this can be total agony and slavery to sin, because it takes one lie to cover another lie, to cover another lie, to cover another lie. It's a never-ending hamster in a wheel. But when you serve God, you're free of all that. There's no trying to cover anything up. There's no trying to hide anything, because you're doing the will of God. And all of your burdens, He has said, I got. I've got your cross. Just follow me. So will you be a slave to God today? If you need to do that, come as we stand and as we sing.